Hi everyone, this is Curious Raven. It is day 5 of October Spook. I'm so excited. This story is written by Old Key. It's called In Too Deep. And trigger warning for child appears. 2006, the worst year of my life. The year our 11-year-old daughter Casey disappeared. Casey was the light of our lives. My wife Evelyn and I doted on her from the day she was born. Never did we think that a random stormy day in September would be the last time we would ever see her. 23rd of September 2006, I awoke to the smell of pancakes cooking away in the kitchen. It was 9 a.m. I lay and gathered my thoughts as heavy rain pelted off my bedroom window. I was thinking about how I was just about to get promoted to assistant manager at my firm. Money was tight lately, and it could really help out. Just then, I felt the bed jolted as my daughter Casey ran in from the hallway and jumped on top of me. "Daddy, wake up! Mommy's making pancakes! Chocolate chip, your favorite!" I laughed and I picked her up in my arms and brought her into a tight embrace. "Is she now? Well, I better get dressed and come right down." I laughed as I tried to get off the bed. Casey ran back downstairs. I quickly got dressed and followed behind her. "Smells amazing, hun," I said as my wife glanced over with a smile. "Yeah, well, it was Casey's idea. I'm just the cook," she said with a fun, sarcastic tone. I sat at the breakfast bar while Casey handed me a knife and a fork and a half-empty cup of coffee. She'd spilled the majority on the floor on her journey over to me. "Wow, thank you, Casey. This looks amazing, sweetie," I said as Evelyn placed the pancake in front of me and rolled her eyes while trying to hide a giggle. "You're welcome, Daddy," she said, batting her long lashes as she watched me take the first bite. "Hey, Casey, why don't we go for a walk in the woods after breakfast? Look for deer tracks," I said, trying to swallow my mouthful. "Ooh, yes, please. I'll go get dressed right away," she said excitingly. I chuckled as I watched her run up the stairs at lightning speed. "Come on, Casey, time's ticking," I shouted up the stairs, feeling impatient. "Coming, Daddy," she yelled from over the landing. She appeared at the top of the stairs. Her curly red hair fell over her face. She tried to shove on her pink bobble hat. She had already put on her white coat with the fur hood and a pair of red snow boots. "Let's go," she said in a sing-song voice, and off we went. As we walked through the woods, the trees twisted around each other at the top, casting a dark shadow onto the wood floor. The wind whistled through the leaves, and the rain fell softly onto our faces. "Daddy, I think I see a track," Casey shouted from up ahead. "Oh yeah, let me see." I ran slowly to catch up to where she was pointing to. "You're right, it's a track. Good job, honey," I said, feeling impressed. We walked further through the woods and chatted about school and what Casey has been getting up to. Just then, a tall man with his face half covered with a scarf stopped in our path. "Hey, buddy, is everything okay?" I said, feeling uneasy. "Hand over the girl," he said in a deep, emotionless tone. "What? No. I said in a panic. He then pulled out a sawn-off shotgun and points it towards us. "Hand over the girl or I will shoot you in the effing face." I stood in shock, a million things racing through my mind. "Please, don't hurt us," I pleaded. "You have one more effing chance. Hand her over, or so help me God, I will kill you." I stared at his cold, dark eyes and finally did the unimaginable. I handed over my only child to a masked monster. "Daddy, no! Please, Daddy, help me! Don't leave me!" Casey screamed, tears streaming down her face. "I'm so sorry," I said. "But what was I supposed to do? I didn't want to die. I know what you're thinking. The world's worst dad. But, you know, she's not even my kid. Not that she or anyone knows. Her mom had her on a one-night stand, and I brought her up as my own. Right, but I need to get my story straight. We went on our walk, and she was kidnapped by a madman. Well, that's actually true. I just did nothing to stop it. The next few weeks were hell. Evelyn was inconsolable. Police were constantly in and out, taking statements and trying to find witnesses. I felt awful lying to my wife, twisting the story ever so slightly, and I felt bad. I really did, but I was in too deep and so close to getting that promotion. I could make this right. We'd have more children. We could still have a good life. The 7th of October, 2006. It had been 2 weeks since Casey was taken. We just returned home from putting up flyers when two police officers knocked at the door. "Officers, please tell me you found her," Evelyn said, her voice cracking. "Can we come in? We need to talk." I gestured them inside. "Please sit down, sir and madam. I'm afraid a body has been found near an old shack in the woods. I'm really sorry, but it appears to be Casey's." Evelyn let out a scream that sent a shiver down my spine. "Please, God, not my baby, not my Casey." I fell to the floor as I cradled my hysterical wife. Shit. What have I done? I thought. Will anything ever be the same? At least now she can never tell that I didn't fight for her. 17 years later, I sat in the chair, watching as my teenage twin boys played their game station. Evelyn in the kitchen making my favorite chocolate chip pancake. When suddenly, phone rang. "I'll get it, hun," I said. I picked it up from the side table. "Hello? Hello, Daddy, remember me?" My blood ran cold. "Who is this?" I stuttered. "Oh, I think you know exactly who it is, and I'll see you soon, Daddy." The line went dead. I stood in complete shock as I tried to come to terms with my new nightmare. This story is written by Horror Junkie. And the title of it is, "I'm a surgeon. My patients have been exhibiting symptoms of parasites. Worms, hundreds of them. They wiggled and writhed out of every exposed orifice. Spindly white, noodle-like creatures grappled aimlessly at the air, treating my patient's body like their own personal playground." I sighed, stepping back from the operating table. That was supposed to be a routine appendectomy. I rarely turned to my colleagues. They all wore horrified expressions on their face. Time of death, 10:14 a.m. "Allison, contact the bio team, please. The rest of you, don't leave this room. We need to await further instruction." In a matter of minutes, we were surrounded by figures, shrouded in bright yellow hazmat suits. They shoved the corpse into a body bag and went to work, meticulously dousing the room in chemicals. "Hey, Doc, I was hoping I wouldn't have to see your ugly mug for a while," a man wearing a white biosuit said, handing me one to match. "The feeling is mutual, Bill. Third time this week. Any idea where people are picking these little bastards up from yet? Not what I've heard of. Then again, the top brass doesn't tell me shit." "Sounds about right," I murmured, exposing my back to him so he could zip me up. He did so in a hurry. "Ready whenever you are," I said, my arms extended at my sides. Bill scooped up a black spray bottle and began lathering me with a light green disinfectant. I always thought the stuff looked like toxic waste. Sure hope they manage to find the source of these things soon. "You're telling me..." Bill was cut short by a deafening shriek. I instantly whipped my head in its direction. It was Allison. Even through the thick plastic of her hazmat suit, I could make out a sea of worms flowing from her nose and ears. A handful of them had managed to chew through her eyelids, inching down her bloody face in droves. He clawed desperately at the tiny creatures, but it did little to no good. The worms just kept coming. I turned away, choking down the bile that was creeping up my throat. Before I could compose myself, I heard a loud thump. Allison had collapsed, her body convulsing violently on the ground. Bill shot me a look and pursed his lips. Looks like you're gonna have to find a new scrub nurse. I solemnly shook my head. Yeah, I was really starting to like this one too. As the bodies were wheeled out of the operating room, it finally clicked. In case of an infection, they didn't make us wear hazmat suits to keep the parasites out. No, they made us wear them to keep those things in. I shuddered at the thought. Logically, it made sense, but something about it just felt wrong. Your room is ready when you are, Doc, Bill said, shattering my reverie. Oh, yeah, lead the way. Bill obliged. Billowing from the doors, I nodded to my anesthesiologist as we left. He reluctantly met my gaze, offering a hesitant wave as we marched on. Soon enough, Bill and I found ourselves standing in a spotless white chamber. A rusted stainless steel shower had stretched down from the ceiling, providing a stark contrast to the pristine glow of the room. You know what to do, Bill said, unzipping my suit. I sighed, dripping down into my boxers. I've always hated that part. Undies too, bud. Come on, Bill, I'm not comfortable with this shit. It's not about what you're comfortable with. It's about keeping everyone in this hospital safe. Underwear, please and thank you, Bill ordered, holding out his hand. Fine, take them, I grumbled, begrudgingly tossing him my undergarments. Thanks. Was that really so hard? Shower time. I'm aware, I growled, positioning myself in the middle of the room and tilting my head back. Ready. I clenched my eyes shut as a cold blue mist trickled across my skin. I was told that the gaseous substance had no negative side effects, but for some reason, I highly doubted that. Powell's on the bench. Probably won't be back here again unless something goes wrong. Always a pleasure, Doc. I glowered back at him. I really wanted to slap that stupid grin off his face. Pleasure's all mine, I said through gritted teeth. Thick, white door slammed shut behind him. A moment later, my phone slid through a slot on the wall, perched atop a set of new folded clothes. Finally, I murmured, retrieving my phone and putting on the fresh scrubs. Bill could be an ass, but at least he'd provided me with the essentials. Opened Reddit, mentally preparing myself for another grueling 24-hour stint in isolation. And that's when I felt it. Something tiny, just below the skin, began wiggling underneath my left eye.